This morning I share a passage with you from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As many of you know, I recently took my annual trip to Ohio for my time of renewal and refreshing and to kind of get back in touch. And I had the amazing opportunity of spending 12-hour days for 6 days in the middle of nowhere. And what I did was just spend time in reflection. Of course, I was hunting, but I was spending time in reflection, watching God's creation. And of course, my little camouflage Bible that I take with me and gives me a chance to think and pray. And what I sat back and saw is I saw, and I watched this in wonder, as the birds and the deers, the duck, the squirrels, even the coyotes and the raccoons and the chipmunks, I just saw them enjoying really God's playground, what God created. Seeing the works of our mighty God and what He created, the things that He made out of nothing, out of disorder, out of chaos, and that organization that He brought to the world. Another blessing that I had in addition to seeing that was I lost my watch on the very first day that I was up there, so I kind of lost concept of time and having to do this at such and such time. And am I going to get done with the sermon at 10:40 so that I can be out of here at 10:45 and get time for the last hymn? So I lost that concept of time, and it required me to focus more on the periods of the day, the daylight and the darkness, rather than it's 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. What I was drawn to observe was that seemingly perfect balance and harmony with the wildlife, with God's creation, and how it all had a cycle with the periods of day. There were no real struggles other than going about food, going about play, going about travel. And it seems like everything had its place. Everything had its order. Everything had its purpose and had its plan. It was almost like it was a dance or a harmonious dance of how everything just kind of come together to work. And how each living thing respected each other. Now granted, there may have been a relationship with predators and whatever else, but there was still respect with the living things. Everything had its place. And then I saw the weather with the sunrise, the darkness, the sunset, the moon, the stars, and it was just an amazing time. And as I sat there observing these things, and again it was a long time, really not hearing human voices either, I thought about this scripture in Colossians about what it is that brings balance to our life. What it is that creates harmony. What it is that creates that community. And what it is that does each one of these things is love. We hear it in the Word this morning that love is what binds everything together in perfect harmony. And as we read into this scripture more, we see that that is really, it's about love. It's about submission. And it's about respect. And this is what brings things together in harmony. And I think I witnessed that with the animals and in God's creation at a basic level. And we read about it on a deeper level as we hear the word from Colossians this morning. So that's what puts things together in perspective for us and binds things together. That's that harmony. It is love and submission so that the peace of Jesus Christ may fill your hearts. The scripture that we hear today references what it means to live together as a transformed community, as a community of Christians in unity with the risen Savior, with the risen Lord. And these words also remind us that the life of the church and the life of Christians are centered on things that are much bigger than is what before us. We're not of this world, or to be focused on this world, or to be seeking to gain some fulfillment from this world. What we are as Christians and as a church is that we're bigger than the moment, we're bigger than the obvious, because the values that we should have, the values that we should live, should not reflect this world, but should reflect what Christ has determined. And that our purpose, our actions should be determined what He has in store for us. And what we know is that simply we cannot find balance in our lives, and we cannot find fulfillment in our lives, and we cannot find harmony in our lives if we focus on what the world has to offer rather than what Christ has in store for us. It saddens me that there are still so many in this world that just don't seem to understand. They don't seem to get it. They don't understand this balance, this harmony, or where this perfect peace comes from. They continue to struggle and they search after it. They want it in their lives, but they just don't seem to understand where it comes from. And it only takes a look outside the doors of this church into our world to see those lives that are broken when people have placed all of their hopes, all of their dreams, resting upon the achievement that they can have. Who is it that I am? How famous have I become? And if suddenly I'm not famous, then I'm hurt. Or I have conflict in my life. Or maybe what is it that I have? What is it that I have got that makes me important? What does my car look like? What fulfillment do I have? We see that brokenness when people place all their hopes and dreams about what it is that they can get from the world rather than what they will receive through the grace of God, through the amazing grace of God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we know has happened time and time and time again as people seek the riches, or they seek this, or they seek that, is that the world will let them down. But what we know, is that our Lord will never let us down. Our Lord will never let us down. His presence is always real. His presence is always near. And we simply just must submit ourselves to Him, as we hear in the Word this morning, that the peace of Christ will fill our hearts. But unfortunately, people continue to believe the right car, the right video game. There was some kind of release this week that had people lined up at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to get some kind of crazy game about shooting things. I mean, I heard about it and saw some news on it. Or maybe they think that they've got to have the perfect job, or their spouse must look perfectly. I mean, there are all kinds of things that people seek for their pleasure. That's where they're trying to find their happiness. But brothers and sisters, you and I know they're not going to find their happiness there. They're not going to find their happiness there if they keep putting all of their eggs in the basket of letting the world and the worldly intentions be the source of their happiness and the source of their peace and the source of their balance. You see, it's not about what we achieve for ourselves or what we can get from this world or how much money we can make or what it is that we can do. It is about what Christ has in store for us when we simply say, "Yes, Lord, I'm yours. Yes, Lord, I plan to be obedient. I want to be obedient. Yes, Lord, open my eyes that I may see more clearly, because I want to see as you do, and I want to see as you would have me to see. But there's another part of this too, on this whole balance and this harmony. On a deeper level, we also see inner conflict and festering of unresolved issues in those that are slow to forgive and those that are easy to anger. Have you ever known that person that just always seems to be angry? I mean, you probably, and don't share any names, I mean, of people you know in your lives, but you probably know somebody that you have regular contact with that just always seems to be angry. And you're really afraid to go up to them, afraid to have conversations with them, because they act like they're mad at the world. Or maybe you know that person that just holds a grudge forever. I mean, it could have been in 1928 that something happened, and they really don't even remember what it was, but all they remember is that they're supposed to be mad at you. And they're going to keep being mad, and they're going to keep being mad. The Scriptures today reminds us of the instruction that we have to forgive. Not only should we forgive, but we need to forgive. We need to forgive. I mean, it's an act that also helps us grow. It's a powerful act. I mean, how powerful is it when we can look at somebody that done us wrong and say, I forgive you. You're going to floor them. They're not going to know. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, who is this person? And how can they do that? Whenever we can look at them and say, I forgive you. I don't care how badly you've done me wrong. And I have been that recipient on several occasions where I've been forgiven. And I'll tell you, I mean, it's an amazing expression of love when you have been forgiven. And it's an amazing extension of love when you have forgiven another person. So the Scripture today reminds us that, you know, Christ first, we were first forgiven through the blood of Christ. And that we too are to forgive, since Christ forgave us. But unfortunately, this world has bred an environment, if you will, a bred a practice of holding grudges, of getting even, and having a must-win attitude in every disagreement or argument that we have. And you probably know people like that. That if you have an argument, somebody's got to win. And when these things are harbored in our hearts, they become like an abscess. They become like a cancer, eating away at our very soul. And rather than working these things out and extending love, we seem to sometimes have that need to get that one up. To get that one up. We've got to be better. We've got to be better than the person we sit next to. And I don't know about you, but that kind of drives me crazy when somebody always has to have that last word, or always has to have that thing that's a little bit better than you, or done something bigger, better, or more productive. And brothers and sisters, this is not what our Lord intended. This is not what our Lord intended, because our God intends for there to be balance and harmony in our lives. Our God intends for there to be balance and harmony in our lives. And simply, we just have to submit to Him. And we have to quit fighting against His will and creating that disruption. Because I'll dare say this, that a lot of the lack of peace that we have in our heart is because of conflict that we've created. And that some of that uneasiness we have in our heart, it could be removed if we would simply respond with God's will. And rather than trying to remember why we're angry, or trying to remember or try to find our pleasure somewhere else other than through our Savior, and if we quit fighting and we say, yes, Lord, some of that disruption goes away. We must acknowledge what it means to have the peace of Christ in our hearts and realize that the world nor the objects of this world can deliver that peace. We must be quick to forgive, slow to anger, understand the implications of worrying too much, and we must love a lot. This balance that we seek is to be almost like a dance, of harmonious time in our heart where our hearts have some tranquility and not a monotonous routine. I mean, it's not to be about us getting up every day doing X, Y, and Z and going right back to bed. What it's intended is to be what God has in store for us. And that we have to search out. We have to spend the time in the Word, as we talked about with the children this morning, the game that we played in here, about that deception. The world, the people, the false prophets, the people that think they have all the answers, they intend to deceive. And if we go off on those routes, then we can be led astray. But we know the truth is found right here. And we have to intentionally seek that truth. And as we intentionally seek that truth, we begin to experience more of that peace in our hearts that Christ has in store for us. We are to be thankful and to let the Word of Christ dwell in us as a living thing. And whatever it is that we do as we go about our lives, whatever it is that we do in word or in deed, ought to be done to the honor and glory of our amazing God in heaven. Because it is His perfect love that was the first extended to us out of His amazing grace. It's that perfect love that binds us together in that harmony. Praise be to God.